Good morning. It is Monday. How could it be Monday again? June the 3rd, in the year of our Lord, 2024. I'm J.D. Walt, and this is your wake-up call. Let's begin this week before the Lord in consecration. Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. And Jesus, I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Yes, Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's entry is entitled, Are You in the Fishing Business? Our text is Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 4. Hear now the word of the Lord. When Paul and his companions had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. As was his custom, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and proving that the Messiah had to suffer and rise from the dead. This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Messiah, he said. Some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and quite a few prominent women. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. Have you ever fished with a professional fisherman or woman? Some years back, my oldest son David and I went to Colorado to fish for trout. Two friends, another father and son, who happened to be professional anglers, that's the professional name for fishermen, guided our trip. It was worth the price of admission just to watch their method and craft. Here's what I learned. The pros are meticulously methodical about their game. First off, they usually have a good idea of where the fish are and when. They study the area. They know the underwater landscape, the varying depths of the water, the currents, and the eddies. They also know the variety of fish they might come across and where they will be, and even when they are most likely to be there. They know what the fish like to eat, and consequently what they won't bite. They go in with a game plan. They know what areas they will fish first and second. They know which lures they will try in the order. Even their casting has clear craft to it. As they approached a particular target zone, these guys had a plan on how they would fish it. They had a method of casting to fit any situation, and they could switch out gear at a moment's notice. They seemingly had a different lure for every possible fish in the river. They knew how long to persist and when to move on. It was something to behold. And we were catching fish. I think it was the same kind of situation with Paul and his companions. Paul was the master angler, the pro. He knew where the fish would be and when. He always went to the synagogue first. He went on the Sabbath, in this case, 3 weeks in a row. He knew what they would bite. He reasoned with them from the Scriptures. I have a sense Paul knew just what text to tie on based on who he was talking to. In this case, he was working the suffering and resurrection lures. He was casting Messiah flies. He was fishing for Jews, Greeks, men and women, God-fearers, and so forth. And he was catching fish. He caught a few rainbows. Let's call them the Jews. A ton of brook trout. Let's call them God-fearing Greeks. And several cutthroats. That would be cutthroat trout, of course. And I'll leave that one open. If only he'd caught a brown, he would have had the grand slam. Remember last week he went fishing down by the river at the, quote, place of prayer? And he caught a big one named Lydia. So how about you? Are you in the fishing business? We must remember Jesus' primary metaphor for this work was fishing. He said he would make us fishers of people. It's worth some New Testament study time to simply observe the master angler and his apostles and their proteges as they master this craft. What can we learn? Truth be told, I think Jesus was probably more into net fishing, but I'll save that discussion for another day. Honestly, all of this has me asking myself these questions. What about my town? Do I even know what kinds of fish are in this pond? I'm new to Gillette and still learning. I'll share more about that in the podcast today. One thing I have realized is I am not yet curious enough. It's so easy to simply stay in my own lane and mind my own business. But wait, this is my business, and it's your business too. I love how Jesus put it this way. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. That's John 15:15. This is a fishing business. This is a friends fishing together business. This is our master's business. He's willing and ready to take us into a master class on fishing for people. Who's in? The prayer. Father, I want to be in, but if I'm honest, I'm not. I don't think too much about fishing for people. I believe in it. I just don't do it too much. I'm not even sure how many not yet Christians I even know. I'm not interested in fishing as evangelism tactics, but fishing as life. Awaken me to this life of loving others enough to share Jesus with them. Jesus, you are the master fisherman. Would you rise up in me and lead me from the inside to get beyond myself and to get curious about the lives of people I have yet to meet? Praying in your name, Jesus. Amen. The questions. How's the fishing going for you? What about your neighborhood? How many people have you met there? It's easy to think it's too late to start, especially if you've lived there a while and not reached out. It's not too late. How many not yet Christians do you know and interact with on a regular basis? For our hymn today, we're going to sing number 458, We've a Story to Tell to the Nations. I love this one. I love them all, don't I? You do too. Number 458, four verses, we'll sing them all. We've a Story to Tell to the Nations, 458. We've a story to tell to the nations that shall turn their hearts to the right. A story of truth and mercy, a story of peace and light, a story of peace and light. For the darkness shall turn to the dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright. And Christ's great kingdom shall come to earth, the kingdom of love and light. We've a song to be sung to the nations that shall lift their hearts to the Lord. A song that shall conquer evil and shatter the spear and sword. And shatter the spear and sword. For the darkness shall turn to the dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright. And Christ's great kingdom shall come on earth, the kingdom of love and light. We've a message to give to the nations, that the Lord who reigneth above hath sent us his Son to save us and show us that God is love. And show us that God is love. For the darkness shall turn to the dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright. And Christ's great kingdom shall come on earth, the kingdom of love and light. We've a Savior to show to the nations, who the path of sorrow hath trod, that all of the world's great people might come to the truth of God, might come to the truth of God. Well, the darkness shall turn to the dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright. And Christ's great kingdom shall come on earth, the kingdom of love and light. Amen. That is a fishing song, and that's a good one for Monday morning, isn't it? To get our week off to a good start. I mean, I don't know. Am I by myself here? I don't go about my day thinking about fishing. Maybe if I want to go fishing, like for fish, but I don't. That's not my framework. Is it yours? I don't think that was just a passing metaphor when he said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men and of women. I don't think that was a just sort of like, hey, I think I'll see if I can use something they know to try to explain to them what this is about. And even if it was, we still know what fishing is. Even though it's not our occupation in most cases, it is our business. In following Jesus, I will make you fishers of people. How about that? How about it? I mean, and it's, you know, I used to think it was like trying to angle my way into, you know, how can I talk about Jesus to somebody, and how can I get into a spiritual conversation with somebody, and how can I turn the conversation this way or that way? And while I don't think that's bad or wrong, you know, I'm seeing it a little bit differently now. I'm seeing it. This is about being a witness. Jesus said, you will be my witnesses. And of course, I used to think of that was primarily like, well, how can I witness to somebody? But more and more, I'm understanding it as, how can I be like the actual presence of Jesus in disguise, just like he was in disguise as a human person? You see, he wants to come inside of our lives. He wants to give His vision to our eyes, His words to our speech. He wants to whisper to us as we move about, move this way, move that way. Why don't you go and see what's going on over there? Why don't you go sit down at that table and just get curious in those people sitting there? You see, as Jesus was in the world, so are we. We are not His disciples. Well, we are His disciples, but you need to understand something. The goal is not to become a disciple of Jesus. Discipleship is the class. We need to graduate. Yeah, we'll keep taking classes, but we've got to get onto the business. And the business is fishing. The business is being a witness, an agent of Jesus. And so I think about just right two streets over from me is the only business in town in Gillette. It's called Gas and Goods. It's owned by an Arab family. And this is the place where townsfolk, namely farmers, are going over there early in the morning, sitting around tables, drinking coffee, eating sausage and biscuits, and just, you know, doing what people do in the morning, being together. You know how many times I've gone over and sat down at the table with those farmers and businessmen? Zero. I've not done it. And I'm kicking myself. I mean, I've been in the store, but I'm usually in a hurry. I'm getting gas or I'm getting goods and I'm going on my way. But I'm like, for Paul, that was the synagogue. That's a fishing hole. That's a place where people are. And again, I'm not going down there with some massive agenda. I'm going to be a place, the presence of Jesus. He'll be in other people too, but He's the one witnessing through me. I'll just get interested in people. I'll find out about their lives. I'll hear about what's going on. I'll learn about some situation across town I ought to go check into and see if I can help. I think you're seeing my point. That's fishing. It's loving people. It's being present to them. It's becoming curious about them and genuinely interested in them. And it goes where it goes. Yeah, there'll be opportunities to have spiritual conversations in Jesus' time. The pressure's off of me. This is not my ministry. It's His. It's not yours. It's His. We're following Him. Only we're following Him from the inside of us. So, there you go. That's pretty hardcore for a Monday, isn't it? But and I'm always talking about sowing. Now I'm talking about fishing. I'm switching the gear on you. I'm switching the metaphor. You like that, though. You're a complex, sophisticated people, and you can hold two metaphors at once in your spirit and your mind. Well, it's time to get going today. We're ready. We're full of the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, receive the Holy Spirit. Just see Jesus breathing on you and saying, receive the Holy Spirit, which is His presence. And then let's go out and get it done today. All right? I'm going to get my seeds too. You get yours. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.